Exodus chapter 20, I believe it is, isn't it? Exodus chapter 20. Does anybody know what commandment we're on this evening? Five? Six? Is that where we are? Anybody know?
Three.
Oh, there we go. Somebody's paying attention. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. And then we come to the number three tonight. Would you bow your head with me as we ask God's help and blessing this evening? Father, we're thankful for the good service that you've given us and the time of worship that we've shared. In time of rejoicing, we thank you, Lord, for the special song for Sister Webb and her life. Praise you. Pray now that you would give us that help that is needed in this service, in this part of the service, the anointing for your speaker as well as the anointing for each hearer. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I go further, I think I failed to mention our kids at the beginning of the service. Thank you, children. It's always good to have you up front here as well. And hear you sing and those shouts reverberating. Amen. We might have some shouters among us. Oh, it's still early, isn't it? It's dark outside, but it's still early. Let me begin reading here at the beginning of the chapter. I won't do this every time, but here still early on, we can do that. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing forth unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse number 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Everyone, every person here tonight has the potential of the same problem. A small verse in the book of James would pinpoint that identical potential problem in chapter number 3 and verse 8, that little insignificant tongue, the control of the tongue, the little things that can mount up to be big things, small things. We use our tongues for a number of different points and reasons. You can use your tongue as for noble pursuits, for good pursuits, as found in Ephesians 4:29. It also tells us in Colossians that we should watch the conversation of our mouth. We must be careful about what is coming out of our mouth. We don't have to go very far this evening to realize that what comes out of a person's mouth, even in our culture today, seemingly saturated with disgusting and repulsive profanity, verbal stupidity. You know, the words that people use don't even fit. It's used in such a way that they think that are making themselves sound intelligent or powerful. But when you stop and really think about it, it's just like a little comma can change the entire meaning of a sentence. The words that people use in their vocabulary today, and I think it's gotten worse over the last decade, maybe from high ups in positions, it just seems as though there's so much vulgarity that goes on and flows down. Somebody posted on Facebook the other, nobody from here, said that they were getting ready to do a binge watching of some particular movie, some particular series, I believe. And when I read that, I thought, this person professes to be a Christian. And I thought in my mind, in my heart, I thought, I think if my memory is correct about the reviews of that particular show, it's one of the most vulgar, most profanity-laced series or movies on TV. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with it is that we begin to fill our mind with things, verbal things, the tongue, the profanity that rolls so easily off the tongue. We fill our mind with that, and what are we doing? We're filling ourselves with things that are unnecessary, with putrid conversation. Somebody in some years past wrote and published some kind of a tract, 10 Reasons Why I Swear. Now there's a lot of sarcasm there. All 10 reasons are not valid reasons. There's sarcasm in every single point. Like number one, it pleases my mother so much. Moms, doesn't please you, does it? Number two, it's a fine mark of manliness. You know, that's the concept in many people's lives. I suppose that I can handle a lot of profanity that people roll off of their tongues, but when it comes down to the point where they are taking God's name in vain, not just using his name lightly, but I mean really, truly blasphemous conversation with the name of Christ or the name of God. That's extremely troubling. This evening we're looking and focusing on this particular commandment that discusses the misuse and the profane use of God's holy name. Holy name. God's name is holy. God's name is not supposed to be used unless it is used in connection with giving him praise or his proclamation. I don't know if the story's true or not, but the story's been told that little Mary, attending Sunday school for the first time one Christmas season, eagerly listened as her teacher told of the birth of God's Son. She thrilled to the story of the angels, the wise men, the star, and the gifts. And then the teacher added, "And they shall call his name Jesus." She looked over at the person beside her and asked, "Why did they have to name such a sweet baby a swear word?" It was the first time that she'd ever heard his name used outside of a curse. Now, that story may seem strange and may seem as though it's got to be made up, but there are people that are like that, that do not know anything really about the name of Christ except for a curse word. We are really, literally surrounded by profanity. A number of years ago, the statistics showed that in 1 year's time, primetime television would air 8,300 plus acts of violence, 14,300 plus incidents of sex, 23,500 plus uses of profanity. It's coming out of the Wesleyan Advocate. Profanity on television increased by an alarming 45% in a 4 year period. It's alarming, really. It's even more alarming when we look at it as so long ago, the dates that are connected with this, that I kind of wonder, I didn't look it up, to see what would possibly be the astronomical growth or increase of it in our day. But let's take a look at it here and study a little bit into what it is and why it's so important that God included it into the Ten Commandments for the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, coming out of profane living, coming out of the world, and becoming God's chosen people in a new and a clear sense, a renewed sense in their lives. They were to be different. And here is one thing that God was laying out for them. Don't use my name in vain. Well, why shouldn't we? Well, God's name is a name that is, first of all, sacred. His name is not secular. His name is sacred. His name is holy. His name is worthy of respect. His name is worthy of reverence. Back in the Bible days, names meant something. They revealed something about the person. It revealed something about their ancestry. It revealed something about their background. And it's especially true of the name of God, the nature of God, who He is. And God has chosen to reveal Himself to man through His names. God has chosen to reveal Himself to us through His names. There's two of them that are here used. There's like 300 of them given in the Bible. There's two of them that are used right here. One of them, the first one, is that of Lord. I don't know what your translation says, how it's worded or spelled, how it's written there. But in the King James, in verse number 7, the word Lord is all capital. It's all capital. When you see this word, this particular all capital word Lord, it is the English rendering of the Hebrew word Jehovah. Now, we don't use the word Jehovah much anymore. Maybe occasionally in a conversation, the word Jehovah, his name Jehovah, will come up. Maybe in some writing, the name Jehovah will be seen in that writing. But this word Jehovah describes God as a self-existent, eternal one. Capital O-N-E. Eternal one. This man, this eternal one is the name that he gave to Moses at the burning bush where he said, I am. We could take a lot of time here tonight and look at the I ams of the scripture. We find it over and over again repeated through the scripture that God refers to himself as I am. Maybe you get tired of hearing it, but I don't really get tired of saying it, not get tired of hearing it from somebody else either. It's not I was or I will be, but it's I am. He is I am. I am here. I am present. This name is used to declare God's nature. His nature in that he is unchanging, in that he is eternal. Now, in Scripture, the word, the name Jehovah is coupled with some other words to form compound names for God. These really dig into who God is, and it's a wonderful study. If you ever want to get blessed, look at these variables, these different names of Jehovah that are found in Scripture. They reveal His attributes. They reveal His nature. The first one that I want to bring to your attention tonight is Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Well, what is God providing? Well, that particular name is found in Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 14, where Abraham and Isaac are on their way to the mountain to have sacrifice. And Isaac recognizes that they have the wood. Isaac recognizes that they have the fire. Isaac recognizes that there's not a lamb. Isaac has been around sacrifices often enough to know that you have to have wood, you have to have fire, and you need a lamb. And he doesn't see a lamb. Abraham's heart is heavy with what is taking place and the call that God has placed upon him and the requirement that God seems to be telling Abraham. And he simply responds with those words, God Himself will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner, referring to the time in Exodus chapter 17 where Moses, the children of Israel are going to battle against Amalek, and Moses is up on the mountainside and he's looking out over the valley where the battle is being fought, and as he has his hands raised, he sees that Israel wins, and as he gets weary with his hands being raised, he puts them down, and he sees when at that time that Israel begins to lose, there's a retreat going on. And so he realizes, he sees that it's important for him to raise his hand and reach heavenward for the banner. And so the two men that were with him began to hold him up. They began to hold him up so that he could reach forth. And the name Jehovah Nissi, God or the Lord is my banner. We find Jehovah Shalom. Doesn't take too much to understand what that is. The Lord is peace. Judges chapter 6 in the story of Gideon. The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Exodus chapter 48. What does it mean? What's the significance of that word, that name? I said it reveals His attributes. It reveals His nature. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? The name was intended, listen to it, the name was intended to provide to the Jewish exiles in Babylon who believed they were there because of their sins. The Lord is even there. In the midst of their exile, in the midst of the problems of that particular era and generation, those that were still followers and believers in the Lord God, Jehovah, they recognize that the Lord is there. Another one is Jehovah Sabaoth. Now, there's a different spelling to that that doesn't look anything like that, but what does that word mean? Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies. This particular name of God, the name of Jehovah, is found 250 times in the Old Testament, I'm told. Now, these other ones are only used occasionally, but this one's 250 times. What is there anything significant? Can you think that there's anything significant about this? The Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of the armies. And then you know about God, Elohim. refers to the one supreme, faithful, triune God. Literally, it means the strong and the faithful one. This is the common word for God in the Bible. I'm told that it's used over 2,000 times in the Old Testament. And in that, we realize that God stepped out of eternity past to reveal himself to man. And this is the name that he chose. A name that was depicting himself as the strong and the faithful one. The God who can be depended on, trusting him without fail. El Shaddai, God Almighty. Adonai, Lord. You see, this is a God, this name of God is a holy name, but it's also a name of adoration. Now, you get a hold of this, because not only is God in his lofty position of holiness and of power and separated from everything else in that sense of his omnipower, the omniscience, it blows my mind. And it's not just this God that's way up here with all of this, but we also find that it's a name, that his name is to be that of adoration, is to be held in reverence. Reverence. You know, that's where the word that comes in front of preachers is connected to, Reverend so-and-so. I don't think you're really supposed to use the word reverend until they're actually ordained. And then they add that word reverend. Now, some preachers, there's some organizations that don't want to use it at all, because they think, in a sense, that they're taking away the reverence from God and putting it upon man. But the word reverend in front of somebody's name really is simply that this person is a minister of the Most High God. A minister of the Most High God. The word reverend is only found one time in the scriptures, Psalm 111:9. Reverend so-and-so is that person. It is that this person is a minister of the Most High God. That's not emphasis on the person. That's emphasis on who he's the minister of. The esteem that the Jews held for the name of God is revealed in the way the scribes would. When they came to the name of God in the writing, they would stop writing, and they would wash themselves, they would change their pens, their quill, and they would write the name of God, and then they would discard that quill. You know, that's hard for me to fathom, because God's name is written so many times in Scripture. But that's what I'm told. I wasn't there. I don't know. That's pretty incredible, the respect, the profound awe of the name of God, that they would go to such lengths. Psalm 66:2, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. The honor of his name. Psalm 34:3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 29:2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Matthew chapter 6. Verse number 9, Jesus tells us, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed Be that word hallowed, it would indicate reverence. That word hallowed would indicate awe. That word hallowed would indicate a fear, a reverential fear in the heart and the mind and the life of the person. Hallowed be thy name. So much crying from the heart, hallowed be thy name, that thy holiness would flow through me and to be seen to those that are. It's not just simply that I'm pressing for him and I'm honoring him, but my life then becomes that recognition, reverence through me of his holy. Hallowed be thy name, that it would be seen. You can't really pray the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, unless you are living reverently before God, because that's what the beginning phrasing, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, would indicate. This particular commandment then tells us that God's name can be violated. Or it can be named, or it could be used in vain, vanity. What does the word vain mean? It means empty, idle, insincere, phony, frivolous, lacking in reality, lacking in truth. Did you catch all those? When we use God's name empty, when we use God's name in idleness and insincerity or with phoniness or frivolity, lacking in reality and lacking in truth, we are treating the name of God as any other byword. Could it even be a blasphemous act to take God's holy name and bring it down to common use? I remember when I was a teenager, I went to public school, 11th and 12th grades. And I was, for a little while there, I was wondering about this thing. Maybe Dad was preaching on it. I don't really remember that side of it. But I remember dealing with it within my mind and my heart. And I talked to Dad about it. And, you know, there was a lot of kids that just took God's, you know, they went to church on a regular basis, but they took God's name in vain. It wasn't anything for them to use Christ's name in vain. There was a rock group back in that day by the name of Judas Priest. Sounds bad, doesn't it? And I asked Dad, I said, Dad, well, if they can profane God's name, why can't I profane their held in high esteem band's name? Why can't I use that? And while it may have sounded good, Dad discouraged it. You know, I thought I was being, you know, a little bit pious or something. Trying to do right, you know. Where Dad kind of looked at it as bumping up the edge, up against the edges and fudging on the borders. And no, son, you just need to stay away from any kind of profanity in that sense, whether you're using a rock band or using God's name. I don't know. I didn't think about it long. I don't remember it being a problem for very long. But when we treat the name of God as any other byword, we are bringing his name down to use it as a curse rather than as a blessing. We are using it as a slang rather than something that is wholesome and holy. Somebody even suggests that if we are singing songs on the Lord's Day in church that utter the name of God and we use it in our own heart of hypocrisy, if that's the case, that's a scary position to be in, wouldn't it? for a person to take God's name in hypocrisy, just simply in hypocrisy. God will not hold them guiltless. He will deal with those of us. He will deal with people when they use God's name in vain. Somebody said after the Welsh revival of 1904, foul-mouthed miners who had been saved returned to the mines and were faced with the task of retraining their mules. It seems that the animals were unable to understand the commands of the miners when there was no profanity used. Another story has been told that one day a farmer arrived home much later than his wife expected him, and she asked him what had taken so long. He replied that, well, I picked up the preacher down the road, and after that moment, those horses couldn't understand a thing that I said to them. God's plan for his people is that we guard our tongues and that when we use his name, we do so with reverence and respect. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever it is more than these cometh of evil. James 5:12, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. You see, it's important what our language is, our communication, our conversation. We read about that in New Testament. It tells us that our conversation is to be holy. Why? Because we are representatives of a holy God. And his name is holy. His name is respected, is revered. His name is high and lifted up, almighty, ever present, the great I am, even of 2024, the I am. What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the third commandment that says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Would you stand with me tonight? To share a little miracle, I think it's a miracle, that happened this morning. It's just a small one, but it's still significant enough to give the Lord some thanks. I have not been able to preach without a fisherman's friend for several months now, and I forgot to put one in my mouth before I started preaching this morning. Didn't have one in all service this morning. And I realized that after church was over, maybe the Lord brought it to my mind. And I just thank God for that. I am weary tonight, and my voice is a little worse, so I've put a couple of them in there through the service. But this morning, I was a little surprised. Thank God. I appreciate his touch in that area. The commandments are special to us. They should be special to us. Let's keep in mind that God's name is reverent. God's name is holy. Praise his name. Praise his name. Trust you have a good week this week. Look forward to see you again on Wednesday. And look forward to being together. Lydia, would you dismiss us in prayer?